The title of the message today is He Calms My Spirit. He Calms My Spirit. We're looking, of course, at Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You see, where do you get the idea of calming the spirit? Do you remember the old Snow Channel on the old television sets? Anyone here know what I'm talking about? Yes. If you put in that old video, the VHS cassette into the player and it doesn't work right, or you turn the channel to a station that's not coming in very clear, and you get all that fuzz, that loud fuzzing sound on the speakers that hurts your ears and all the white dots jumping everywhere, we used to call that the Snow Channel. And we'd just say, isn't this exciting? And we would just try to entertain ourselves with that if we were trying to get a channel to come in or get a video to work. The old Snow Channel. Remember when you would switch to that channel with poor reception or pop in that video? Sometimes our hearts and our spirits can feel kind of like that. We content ourselves with being busy, with doing a lot of things, staying active and listening to the music in our headphones or the voices on the radio or all these different things. And as long as we're busy, as long as there's noise and things happening, we're fine. But it's when we sit still, nothing going on, and no kids cheering in the background, and we have to listen to our thoughts and listen to what's really going on inside, sometimes it's hard because there's a lot of fuzz there. There's a lot of noise, a lot of just unsettledness. We're not always as calm as we'd like to think we are inside. What are some things that do cause that fuzziness, that restlessness inside that take away the calm and the quiet and the peaceful resting in the Lord? These things that we are going to look at today are the matter of the inner irritations that we can have, the things that bother us, that bug us. We're going to look at the idea of this, the itch to sin that we have inside of us at times, that when we're sitting there quietly, that thought, that process, that desire of wanting to sin in one way or another. And then, of course, the relationship tensions that we can have that cloud our thoughts, that affect our feelings and our emotions and our inner person. Now, of course, the world offers a variety of suggested solutions. Depression medication, you can take a pill, and the pill will take all your anxieties away, right? That is one solution the world offers. You could go for a walk in a Japanese garden and look at the different rock formations and arrangements and listen to the rippling brooks and just the way that they have the wind chimes set up and the little pagoda set up. You know, you're supposed to be able to find peace in a Japanese garden. And of course, it's a relaxing place to go, but it's not going to take away the inner challenges. How about a tour of Italy where you can go to all the different vineyards and look at all the beautiful scenery and just enjoy some nice open-air views and some nice motels and some great Italian food? Of course, that's just going to take all your worries away, right? Or perhaps a trip to Disney World. What about hypnosis? You could go to a hypnosis specialist and they can sit you down and wave something in front of your eyes and get you to tune out. I don't recommend that. It's a very bad option. Or you could go enroll in a yoga class, and you could learn how to bend your knees and flex your ligaments and your muscles and tune into your real inner nature, into the peace of the world around you, and get your little yoga mat and play some nice music, right? And this is going to take all that inner stress away, right? Why is it that the world continues to offer these things? Well, because these things are not meeting the need. They're not really solving the problem. Another option would be, of course, to go out and to purchase drugs off of the street of various kinds to escape. You could drink your troubles away. You could go to some states and you can take some of these drugs legally, I suppose. But these things are not going to solve the problem. The only thing that's going to solve the problem of that turmoil or that lack of peace, that fuzziness inside, to give you real peace is going to be the careful attention of the Lord, your shepherd. You have to let him do the work that's required. And he does bring that calm to our spirits. Let's talk about that this morning. My shepherd calms my restless spirit through the Holy Spirit, through the oil of the Holy Spirit. Number one, he provides peace from inner irritations. Mothers, take note of this. The Lord provides, by his Holy Spirit, peace from the inner irritations. Do you ever have inner irritations, moms, through the course of a week? Taking care of the house, tending to your husband, tending to the family, to the children. Do you ever have challenges? Do you ever have the moments where you just want to do something? The Lord can calm that by applying the oil of the Holy Spirit to your spirit if you'll take the application, if you'll let him do that. And men all the same, too. I think sometimes they end up applying things specifically to men a little bit more. Try to balance that out a little bit here. But these inner irritations, how does this apply to the anointing the head with oil? Well, a good shepherd knows that in the summer, a variety of flies and other winged pests will threaten and annoy their flock. How many of you have been to a petting zoo or to a real zoo, and you've seen some of these, the zebras or the horses or some of these larger animals, and what do you notice happening? All the flies are buzzing around, and they're flicking their tail and jerking their head and stomping their hoof. It's because these things are bothering them. And you know what it's like to have just one mosquito or one fly annoying you. You can't relax. You have to try to kill that thing. And if you're Nathan Swanson, many of you know Nathan, you get out a rubber band. He is proficient at killing things with a rubber band. He can sit anywhere in a room and aim that thing down. He kills flies out of the air. He's pretty good at that. I don't know. Let's see here. The Molina boys are not here. Josiah and one of his cousins picked up some rubber band guns at the Shady Maple tourist shop. And they got some rubber band guns. They're pretty neat things. And you could add a bunch of rubber bands to this wooden gun, and you could shoot the rubber bands by pulling the trigger. Sometimes we wish we had something like that, or we get out that fly swatter. But these animals will be affected by these flies and these gnats and these mosquitoes as you get into the end of the summer. One man says here, to name just a few of the parasites that trouble the stock and make their lives a misery, there are warble flies and bot flies and heel flies and nose or nasal flies and deer flies and black flies and mosquitoes and other winged parasites that proliferate at this time of year. In particular, the nose or the nasal fly is a very real problem to the sheep, and the shepherd is aware of this. David would have been very aware of this, having to take care of his sheep. What that nose fly would do is this. It would buzz around the sheep's head and attempt to deposit its eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose, because in the summer it would be dry, and they knew that they would find this wet spot on the nose of the sheep, and they would lay their eggs there. And if they are successful, the eggs would hatch in a few days and form a small, slender, worm-like larva. And then, this is really great preaching, right? And the larva would then work its way up into the sheep's head, burrow into the flesh, and set up an intense irritation accompanied by, in some cases, severe inflammation as it would grow in there, and eventually it would die and go away, and in the wintertime it would be over. But to get through that process was just a torment to the sheep. And if you can imagine trying to itch something that's inside of your head that you can't touch because it's underneath your skin, you can't get to it. And that really would be a problem. The sheep that have this problem develop will hit their heads against rocks and tree trunks. They'll run around just unpredictably. They'll try to go into the woods to get away from the pests entirely, and they won't come out and join the flock. And when you have different sheep who are irritated underneath and there's nothing they can do about it, that makes for a real problem in the flock at large. The more sheep you have infected with these things, the more chaotic it becomes, the less peaceful it is, and you certainly are not going to be able to invite the artist to come and to paint their pasture side portrait of your flock, because if they did, you'd have a bunch of sheep jumping in the air and running around, and that's not the kind of painting that sells. For us, I guess the question is this. What are the inner frustrations that steal your inner peace? What are the things that really, if I can say it this way, bug you? What gets under your skin? What are the things that make you feel like beating your brains out? These are phrases that we use, but they directly apply to the situation we're looking at here. What are they? If all of us are oblivious to what they are, I think I could probably ask the spouses and the children in our homes about what those things are. I've told you what one of my things is, right? Anyone remember what I've said? Isabel. When I'm sitting down beside somebody and they're smacking with their lips and eating with their mouth open, that really bothers me. Now, since I've preached about that and I've really been working on that, and I deliberately, I've asked the Lord for help on that. And there have been a couple of times I've been tested on it, but otherwise I've actually had victory, which is really encouraging. There have been a few times I've been tempted to correct somebody at my own family table, and I choose not to. And you know what? God gives grace, and I don't think about it again. That's a victory for me. You see, that's silly. Well, if I brought each of your kids up here and asked them, what are the things that bother you, parents? I would get some really interesting things, okay? I'm just jumping the gun and being transparent. I'm not asking you to do that. But what are your things? I know for me, my father, one of his things would have been getting dirt in the car or putting our hands or leaning our head against the glass windows, because those things would then put smudges and marks on the windows. And Dad liked to see the sun shine through the window, not to see hair marks and fingerprints everywhere. And so that was one of the things that my dad had to deal with. And I could go through different things. I'm not going to go through the whole list. But you know what your things are, if you're honest. What are those little flies that get under your nose and go up there and lay their eggs, right? That just bother you, that bug you, that cause you to beat your brains out, that get under your skin? Is it the behavior of your boss at work or your floor manager? Is it the behavior of a coworker? Is it the mannerisms of a fellow believer at church, someone at church that you just have a hard time with? Is it the endless shenanigans in local, state, and national politics? What about traffic and parking in the city? Does that ever bother you? Or how about a malfunctioning subway MetroCard machine at rush hour? What about the bad habits of family members at your home? Or trying to call a government office for help, and they don't pick up, ever. What are the things that bother you, that annoy you? These annoyances will always be there. You can't get rid of the flies. But in one form or another, the reality is that for the cause of peace and the testimony of the Lord, we have to learn how to resolve this problem. The way that a shepherd would resolve this problem for the sheep is he would take a special ointment of some oil mixed together with some different herbs and things of that nature, and he'd rub it together, and he'd make this kind of a mixture. My guess is it looked something like Italian salad dressing or something like that. But he would take it, and he would go around the flock at fly time, and he would apply that to their noses. He'd put it on their noses. And the flies wouldn't want to land there because of the smell of it and just the whole thing. They didn't want to go there. They didn't do that. And the flies would stay away. It'd be kind of like our mosquito repellent today. Did you know that for all the irritations that we face in life, as silly or significant as they may be, and I've told you some silly ones about me, but we all have them, we can actually have victory if we let the Lord put the oil on, if we will be willing to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that moment. And we'll talk more about that later. But the Holy Spirit is God's antidote to the inner frustrations that bug us under our skin. And if we learn to trust in Him, in the Holy Spirit, as a person, we can actually have victory. I can sit beside somebody who is smacking their lips with no end in sight, and I can actually not just be holding it in, I can actually not be bothered by it if I surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. And you'll be tested on this coming week. Try it. Note, maybe even write down, or if you're bold enough, ask your spouse or one of your kids, what is my thing? You already know, but they could just remind you. And say, Lord, could I have victory on that very silly thing this week and actually experience it and not get irritated? Try it. You'll like it if it goes well for you, right? If you really trust the Holy Spirit. And you'll realize, wait a minute, this is spiritual growth, actually. This is me changing. And the more you get accustomed to that and used to that, people can eat with their mouth open all the time, and you just keep getting closer to the Lord. And pretty much you just say, let's find some more people who eat this way. How about everybody start eating this way so I can just become a real perfect saint, because this is causing spiritual growth in my life. What is your thing? What is your fly? And are you letting the Holy Spirit be applied to that situation? Number two, he provides peace from that itch to sin. That itch to sin that comes and goes, and sometimes you're tempted by this thing. And for all of us, it's different. Some of us we're tempted by any kinds of sins, but some of us are particularly tempted in various ways towards this or to that kind of sin. And some days, maybe it's when we're leaving church or after we've got a good foot rub from our kids, or maybe it's after a great meal or a fun show that we've watched, or whatever the case might be. Maybe we're feeling fine at one moment, but then at another moment, there's that temptation, and we're facing that, and there's that itch there. Not only do the sheep in the summertime face this inner problem of flies, they also have what's called scab. Scab is a disease that will spread among a flock. It's a skin disorder, and the way that this happens is a parasite of a particular kind will get onto the skin. It's microscopic. It's undetected. You can't see it, and it'll get down under the wool and under the top layer of the skin, and it'll cause an itch. And eventually that itch turns into a scab. And usually it will happen on the head area of the sheep, sometimes other places. And what happens is when a shepherd notices, remember we talked about the rod, how when the sheep come in the evening to the fold, the shepherd would take his rod one at a time, they would pass under the rod, and he would hold their wool back and just check their skin. One of the things he would have been looking for was the scab. Had any of them developed that during the course of the day? If he notices the scab on any one of the sheep, he has to take steps to address that problem before it spreads, because as that sheep begins to rub against other sheep, then other sheep will begin to be infected by it. And isn't that the way sin is? You get that itch to sin, and if it goes undetected, and if it goes unaddressed, you start rubbing around with other people, and they start having the same problem. Teenagers get together and start sharing things, looking at things, flipping through things. These kind of things go on. The conversation between adults begins to go downhill, and you begin to vent your bad ideas and so forth. Or just your personal private sin causes bad attitudes and a bad outlook on life because of discouragement and defeat, and that begins to affect other people's outlooks on life. They may not know why you have this bad attitude. The sin that's causing it might actually be different, but they're being affected by it. And that's the way sin is. It spreads. It doesn't stay isolated. And so the shepherd has to address this, and the way he does it is he has, again, it's an ointment that he uses, a mixture of oil and some other additives, and he will actually apply that to the scab to moisten it and to heal it up on the skin. If it's more widespread on the sheep, he actually prepares a tank or a big place where he puts in a lot of this solution, and he'll dip the sheep in. And it's not a fun process. You have to tame the sheep down. You have to kind of strap it up, lift it up, dip it down, dunk it, and bring it back up. And, of course, the sheep wants nothing to do with this. They don't want anything to do with the scab either, but they don't want the solution either. And that's how we are, right? If he senses this thing is beginning to spread to the flock, he actually has to have an all-day spectacle of taking sheep one at a time and dunking them one at a time in the solution to resolve the problem throughout the flock. What are the itches and urges to sin that confront you on a daily basis? They'll be different than other people face. But here's the fact, that hunger, that itch, that urge to sin in this way or that way can all be met by the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he is applied, as that oil and that ointment is applied to that itch on the skin, under the wool of that sheep, the Holy Spirit is able to give us victory over those things and take away that desire in that moment. The Holy Spirit is able to do that. Number three, the Lord, our shepherd, provides peace from relationship tensions. He provides peace from relationship tensions. At the end of the summer, as you head into the fall season, a shepherd faces another challenge, not just the flies and not just the scab, but another. Have you gotten the point now to this point that we as sheep need a lot of attention? As we've walked through this psalm, we've seen all the things that lie under the surface from the shepherd's perspective, all the things that have to go into taking care of a flock of sheep. And you're just one of them. You're not a flock. You're just one sheep. God does a lot for us. We talked about the guardian angels. Not just they are busy, but all God can do is full-time working to care for you. He provides peace from relationship tensions. How many of you know the old nature program that used to show on PBS? Marty Stauffer. I forget the theme music. If I heard it, it would bring it all back to mind. And if you remember, at the beginning, different scenes would flash in and out before the main episode would start. And at the end, what would happen? You had anyone remember this? Two rams would come out, and they would clash heads, and then it would go into slow motion, and then it would fade out, and then you'd go into your show. It was very dramatic. But you could hear that clash of their horns together. At the end of the summer, heading into the fall, you face what any kid who watches nature programs for any length of time realizes. This is mating season. You face mating season, right? And the men, what happens to the sheep is that the necks of these man sheep, they swell up and they get really strong. They start strutting around really proudly in the pastures, and they start fighting furiously for the favors of the ewes. They crash their heads, and this crashing and the thud of colliding bodies can be heard throughout the day and throughout the night. The shepherd sits there, and he just keeps hearing these fights going on throughout the flock. And it's not that they don't like each other. It's just there's a natural reason for this, and they begin to go after each other. And it's kind of open season on this, and it's just fighting all the time. And a good shepherd realizes that there are some damaging side effects of this if he's not careful. They call this the rut, the mating season. What happens is when these sheep hit each other, though they're not trying to do it, what will happen is sometimes that they actually will injure each other's skulls or their necks or their backs. Sometimes they break skin, and sometimes they just flat out kill each other. It's an unfortunate reality. And what a shepherd will do, this is a very smart shepherd, he actually will take some kind of an oily, greasy mixture, and he'll go around when the rut season begins, and he'll smear it on the heads of the rams. It doesn't look very beautiful. But what happens is when they start butting into each other, their heads just glance off of each other, and it looks very funny. It's very ridiculous, and they feel like something weird is going on, and they try again, and they just keep glancing off of each other. What that does, though, is it protects them from injuring one another. And sometimes in a family, in a work environment, or in a church especially, we have to beware of the potential that we all have. And I don't know, this might be taking the analogy too far, but especially as men, that we don't start running into each other and butting heads. Part of my job as a pastor is to try to figure out how, as a pastor, I can apply some grease to heads sometimes to help just protect us from hurting each other. And that's part of being a pastor, but the reality is this. What is the solution to the animosity and the fighting that can go on within any group of people? What's the solution? The Holy Spirit. The oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives being applied. Let's finish out today by talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how that oil, when it's applied to our lives, can alleviate the frustrations that are within us, can alleviate that itch to sin and can alleviate the relationship tensions that we have. The Bible says, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. We don't have time to go through this whole passage. If you look in chapter 15, it says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. And you have this fighting going on. Walk in the Spirit. It says in verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that is introduced. The flesh and the spirit fight against each other. They're opposite principles to live by, opposite powers. Verse 18, we're going to begin here. It says, for the flesh, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Didn't he already list everything? He just throws in that such like. All these kind of problems. All the flies. All the irritations. He says this, I have told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That phrase, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Do you live in the Spirit? Theologically, the answer to that question is yes. All of us live in the Spirit. Let me say it this way. All of us are spiritual. If you're saved, you are spiritual. What do I mean by that? If you study 1 Corinthians 3 about the spiritual man and the natural man, the spiritual man and the natural man is the person who lives on the natural wavelength. Let's call that the AM dial, okay? He lives on the AM dial, the natural wavelength. He lives in the natural world. He thinks in a natural way. He behaves in natural ways. He says natural things. He responds to natural impulses. He is wired. He is programmed according to the natural programming. If you looked at his programming code, it would be natural programming code. But a saved person is spiritual. A saved person is on the FM dial. They're programmed with another programming system. They have another BIOS inside of them, another operating system. It's not the same thing. When you got saved, God moved into your spirit and brought it to life. He made you a spiritual being. Before you're saved, you are not spiritual. You're only natural. You don't. When you talk to someone who has a spiritual way about them, it sounds nice perhaps, but you don't understand a thing about what they're saying. They're smiling to you, they're so happy, but it goes right over your head. You don't know how you can have that. And you try to do it by being better and being nicer, it just doesn't work. Well, that's because you're on different dials. You have different operating systems going on inside of you. You got reprogrammed when you got saved. You got programmed according to the way that the Holy Spirit operates. A carnal person, by the way, is someone who is a spiritual person, but lives according to the old programming. You know what happens when you're doing that? Crashes. It doesn't work. It's like trying to stick a floppy disk into a CD drive. You can try it all you want, but it's not going to work. You say, well, they're having so much fun out there in the world. Okay, you try it. It's not going to go that well for you because your operating system is different. It's spiritual. And so here's the fact. You are spiritual. You live in the spiritual realm. You live on the spiritual wavelength. You live with the spiritual programming all built into you. And if we live in that way, here's the bottom line. We should walk that way. Let's go back to the computer world. If you're a Macintosh computer, an Apple computer, a Mac, stop trying to put Windows software in there. It's not going to work. The PC software is not going to work. Stop trying to do that. If you're a PC, stop trying to put Mac software in there. It's not going to work. You could look at it from the gaming perspective. If you have an Xbox and you're trying to take PlayStation games cartridges or CDs or whatever you put in them, I used to play Nintendo way back in the day, and they had these little cartridges, and you had to blow in them to see if they would work. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know what it is today, but if you try to take the software from your Xbox and play it in a PlayStation, it's not going to work. If you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and if you try to live according to the natural laws, it's not going to work. If you live in the Spirit, and you do, you're programmed that way, walk in the Spirit. Make choices that are tuned in to the Holy Spirit. What does He want me to do? What does He want me to say? And when you yield to Him, you find an enabling, an energy, an ability, and a wisdom that wasn't there until you made the choice to yield to Him, to walk according to the programming of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. This is a passage we're familiar with. Ephesians 5, verse 18. You can look at 17 and so forth, understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There are two ideas that are placed right beside each other. They're similar ideas, but they're on two different sides of the fence. It says, don't be drunk with wine. What does it mean to be drunk with wine? To be inebriated or intoxicated. It means that the alcohol is in your system, and it's affecting the way that you think, and the way that it affects the way you think is how you're acting. Walking in the Spirit is the opposite of being intoxicated by human means. It means this: let the Holy Spirit be the thing that's stimulating your brain. Let the Holy Spirit be the one that's guiding the decisions that you're making, that's affecting your choices, that's affecting the steps that you take. And here's the bottom line. We just don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't pay attention to Him. You say, well, I don't drink wine. I don't get intoxicated. But yeah, you follow other things. Your stomach, we talked about that this morning. You follow your stomach urges. You follow other body urges that you have, or just the desire to just be lazy. We give in to all kinds of things. That's all natural programming. We have to start tuning in to the spiritual programming. The Holy Spirit is there, and you're not going to hear an audible voice, no, but He gives you the sense. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the understanding. Teenagers, when you're standing with your friends and they say, let's go do such and such, or let's go view such and such, if you ask in your heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I do that or not? Should I look at that or not? Should I participate in that or not? He will give you the sense. He said, I've never heard that. Well, you're probably not even asking. Ask, yield. And when He gives you the sense, follow that sense no matter how much pressure you have on the outside to do otherwise. Follow the programming that you're designed to program according to. And you know what you'll have? Joy. The screen will turn on, and the programs will run, and your prayers will get answered. Everything starts working like it's supposed to work. Money doesn't fall out of the sky, and you don't stay healthy for your whole life, but the real spiritual things that matter happen. God answers prayer. He takes care of you. He meets your needs. He gives you wisdom to make wise choices. But if you yield to other impulses and let other things affect your mind, drugs or alcohol or anything else, you'll find that you're running on old programming and you don't have joy. The program may run for a little while, then it crashes, and it doesn't really have any meaningful or lasting value. We need to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the inner irritations. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You can actually look at an irritating situation and say, Lord, your patience. Lord, give me your wisdom. Lord, I take your peace. It sounds mystical, but it's not. It's a fact. It's the way you're wired to operate. Take his peace. Receive it from his Holy Spirit. If you're not used to doing that, it feels really foreign. But it's so simple. Ask him for it. Take it. And he will take the oil of his Spirit and apply it to that irritation, and he'll absolve it. Not that it will never come back again, but each time just ask him for that. And he begins to work that into you, and it becomes a part of your character over time as well. It becomes more habitual. You start running to the medicine cabinet a whole lot more naturally or supernaturally. The medicine of the Holy Spirit. What about those sinful urges? Well, if you look at Galatians 5, which we just looked at, he talks about all kinds of sinful urges, from lasciviousness to immorality to partying and reveling and all these things. Yield to the Holy Spirit. You say, but my body is so strong. You're running on old programming. Listen to the Holy Spirit and obey him. You have to start doing it, and it will become more a part of you over time, but you'll find every time you lean on him, you get peace and joy and satisfaction and victory. It's actually there. The sinful urges can be taken away. What about relationship tensions? Well, Galatians 5:26, he gives us victory over the envyings and the strife and the bickerings. That's all there in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, walking according to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a God of order, of peace, of calm. And when you rely on the person of the Holy Spirit within you, he gives you that. You can look at a storm and you can smile. Do you go to the Holy Spirit? Or do you pick up the phone and start talking to somebody? When you come to church, do you come in resting in the Holy Spirit to be a blessing? Or do you come and start just venting to everybody? When you come to any situation, have you learned the art of looking to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we just don't think about it till 10 minutes in, right? But you know you can even do it then. And sometimes he might say, maybe you should apologize to so-and-so for the last 10 minutes. Okay, you probably should do that. But if you do that, there's peace. The oil is applied, and there's healing, and there's restoration. There's nothing else necessary. You don't have to go through chemotherapy and all these processes and 10 steps. No, the Holy Spirit just personally wants to be in the middle. And you just let him come, you do what he wants you to do, and there he is, giving you peace, giving you strength, giving you victory, giving you courage, giving you wisdom. He's there. The fruit of the Spirit becomes evident. I just want to challenge us on this thought. Let us be spiritually sensitive as we head into the holidays. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not give way to irritation, sinful urges, and relationship tensions. In those cases, yield to the Spirit. And you know what? Your shepherd's always there, and he's got the oil. He's got it all mixed. Everything is ready. Let us put it there, and he'll take care of it. Remember when you were sick when you were a kid and your nose would run? And you blow your nose, and you keep having this runny nose, and you keep blowing your nose, and then your nose would get dry, and then it'd get red, and then your lips get dry and cracked. And what did your mom do? Well, my mom, she would go to the medicine cabinet and get that Vicks, this green Vaseline stuff that smelled like menthol. And I didn't like this stuff really well. But she would rub that on my lip like this and on my nose. It was kind of greasy, and I didn't like that. I don't like lotions or anything like that. I don't like that stuff. But she would rub that on, and just smelling that would just clear up my nasal passages. And by the next morning, my lips and my nose would be all healed and moist again. And I'd be so thankful. What is it that you're facing right now? Tune in to the Holy Spirit and rest in him. Take a deep breath, too, and just let him give his ministry to your life.